be enjoying each other in the midst of it. In fact, it'll bring you closer together. And you'll marvel at how God brings you through. So anyway, that's what I feel like God's given you. Love you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Ann. Bless you. So it's good to be together again tonight. Just quickly, for those of you who weren't here last night, I just want to share a little bit of why I'm talking on what I am. I'm speaking about the authority that you have and how you can make declarations over every realm of your life, and God will show you and the result, or it will come to pass, like you said. So I just had for repeating, just because it's huge, I was just in Kenya, and the Lord, it was severe drought, and one day the Lord told me to command rain to come within 24 hours, and it had been drought for 4 to 6 months, no rain. And so, you know, I didn't really, you know, when you get a word like that, you don't enjoy it, you know, because you just, you can't create rain. But anyways, rain came, in fact, so much came that puddles remained on the water. And I just was so humbled by it. Just, Lord, thank you. But I really said it's not about rain, it's about blessings. And so, even though there was drought everywhere we went, the Lord had me do it 4 times. And all 4 times, the rain came within 24 hours. So I left that trip just thinking, Lord, I know there's other areas of my life, and there's something that you want me to teach out of this. And so this is what this message is coming from. So I'm really wanting to empower you to agree with God for the things he shares with you and start commanding them even though you don't see them yet. Amen? When the Lord was first teaching me about this, one time we were going to Korea for the very first time. And we were flying from Los Angeles to Seattle, and then we were going to go on to Korea. And our flight was delayed, and it was delayed, and it was delayed. It was about 3 hours late, and we were missing our flight to Korea. And it was a Sunday morning. And so we got on the flight. I was so bummed. I just knew, you know, we'd missed our flight, and everybody else on the, you know, was saying the same thing. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, I want you to command the next plane to wait for you. And I'm like, okay, well, this is Alaska Airlines, and that's Delta, and they don't even wait for each other. And so I said, okay. So I said it. I just said, I command the next plane to wait. I remember I said it. It was like the Lord said, no, command it. Like, you're being wimpy, you know? Like, you're kind of like just saying it, but you're not really declaring it and believing it. So I went ahead and I said, I command the next plane to wait. And Ann was sitting next to me, and she's like, what did you say? No. And I said, well, I felt like the Lord was telling me to command the next plane to wait. And they were coming over the intercom and saying, I'm sorry, you know, we'll help you rearrange your flights and all this. And so we get off the plane, and sure enough, there's a Delta representative, and they have our names, and they said, come to the plane. And we came, we sat down, and as I sat down, I just said to the flight attendant, I said, why didn't you leave? And she said to me, the door won't shut. And, you know, and I'm like, the door won't shut? And right at that moment, you know, his name wasn't really Bob, but, you know, the guy with all the keys, you know, 40 keys on his side. And Bob showed up, and he hits the button, and the door shuts. And they're like, all of a sudden, they're all worked up. Like, of course we hit the button, you know. And so at that moment, I just was like, okay, Lord, I thank you. And I was like, I had kind of like one of those, you know, moments like Isaiah, like, woe is me, you know, who am I, you know. And the Lord said something to me very interesting. He said, if you won't believe me for small things, how will you believe them when I send you to nations to shift them? How will you believe me with greater things if something that small? Now, to me, it wasn't that small, but God was showing me that he wanted me to command things. And, you know, I think that's true for you. And so, if you could just go to the third slide, I just want to review this verse before I go on and where I left, the third slide, the importance of spheres, is Paul says here, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us. I want everybody to say this. I have a sphere of service that God has assigned to me. Can you say that? I have a sphere of service that God has assigned to me. Okay, so when you declare that, then you need to say, well, what is that sphere? What is that realm? How do we define what that is? Go to the next slide. And then he says, neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of attack activity among you will greatly expand. I want you to repeat after me. I pray that my faith will continue to grow and that my sphere of activity will greatly expand. Amen. So that's a prayer. So Kim, you introduced me to these intercessors that came out from Wasilla, and you know it means breath of the Spirit, and they're here tonight to expand their territory in the kingdom and make declarations. So what I did is, when I was writing this message, I was trying to say, well, you know, in the natural, we have height and width and length and depth. You know, we can measure different realms. But how do we measure our sphere of authority? How do we know what it is? And so if you go to the next slide, I gave them these five titles. By the way, this isn't in any book. I interpret this in Scripture. I've never read this before. This is just kind of my language, and, you know, I might refine it some more if you give me some feedback. Maybe, oh, that doesn't make sense. You know, it's okay to tell me it doesn't make sense. I want it to make sense. But the first one was kind of easy. That's personal. That has to do with your realm, right? What belongs to you, your body, your mind, those things. Relational is what I'm gonna look at these others. I'm going to do them more briefly. I'm going to do the next two very briefly, so I can really focus on positional and revelational, because those are the ones that have a lot of the meat in it. These are the appetizers. But anyways, relational titles, which have been very rejected in a lot of cultures, positional and revelational. And then if you go down a couple more slides, you see there the seven areas of the personal authority, and I covered those last night, and if you can just quickly look at those, but I want to go down to the relational. So last night I was talking about, you know, your mental health, your spiritual maturity, all those things. Again, remember, you can get a copy of any of my PowerPoints. You can do whatever you want with them. You can teach it. You can shift them. You don't even have to give me credit. Who cares? Just use it and equip others, okay? That'd be great. But the relational sphere is that your relationships have authority. And because authority is not control. Everybody say that with me. Authority is not control. Okay? Authority is not bad. Some people, a lot of times, people have a concept, authority is what holds me back. Authority is what tells me what to do. Authority is what limits me. And I understand that. There is abuse of authority, and there are those who don't know how to use it. But properly assigned, authority is wonderful because it's a sphere of influence. And the influence that you have is relationship-wise. I had a good friend. She died of COVID 3 months ago. Her name is Mary, and Mary is a Kenyan. She was in her late 50s, and Mary was an apostle. She was a pastor, and how she started doing ministry is the Lord told her to start washing everybody's feet that came to her home. So someone would come to her home, she just would wash their feet. Then the Lord said, I want you to wash the entire village's feet. So she washed the feet of the villagers. And then the Lord told her, I want you to wash the feet of everybody in the region that you can. And so she started. So it said that she washed, like, you know, literally thousands and thousands, you know, tens of thousands of people's feet. And I was one of those. And I'll never forget when I was in her home and she washed my feet. And it was like, it wasn't weird. It wasn't orchestrated. It was just, a selfless act of love like Jesus did. And I want to let you know, we were immediately bonded. And I committed to pouring into her and raising her up to greater levels in that nation the best I could. She was a church planter. I commissioned her as an apostle. She was the first woman apostle in our movement anyway. And by the way, in Kenya, you can have a lot of different titles, but women are usually, if they're in ministry, they're called evangelists because that's safe. You can call anybody an evangelist, no one cares. I called her an apostle, and every time I went, I would make sure she came to me. I would pay for her way to come and be there, and because she just felt like such a partner, and I just wanted to honor her as a woman, a significant woman leader. And so I had influence in her life as a father and as an apostle, but she had an influence on me and on my heart, and she really showed me the love of the Lord. You know, God has given relationships to express His love and His healing, but relationships are what are really the vehicle by which God gives us the ability to heal one another. And I think the role of marriage is to heal. I think that God gives us relationships and to really be a sphere of influence. Now, a lot of times right now, a lot of people don't think this way, okay? Because, you know, we just have friends and we would never think, you know, how am I supposed to have influence? And I want to encourage you to think that way. Not in a controlling way, not in a manipulative way, I'm not saying that. But let's say you had a really good friend and they struggled with fear. Then you could be intentional and say, every time I'm with them, I'm going to encourage them. Or if you had a friend who struggled with depression, whatever. So you have authority with your words to impact someone you're with them. You know, we're here out of relationship with Zach and Sage. And when I look at them, I you know, they call us a mom, one of their mothers and their fathers. And what this is, it's like, basically, they put out a big green light. That's when I look at them. It's a big green light. It's not a yellow light. Because you know how some relationships, it's a yellow light. Some relationships, it's a red light, right? Sometimes it's a red, it's a red-orange light. You know, you're kind of in between. But a lot of times, you can tell when people are open to you. You can tell when people celebrate you and when they tolerate you. Right? How many like to be tolerated? No, you want to be celebrated. See, you want to command a blessing. So you want to be the person who celebrates other people. You want to be the person who honors other people. You don't want to be the person that sees the anointing of other people, the value of other people. And our authorities overlapping all the time. And, you know, we talk about a culture of honor. I've been teaching more on culture of freedom lately. Culture, because I believe that a free atmosphere creates it. But just, I don't have a lot of time tonight, but I just want you to think about your relationships. And I don't want to use the word authority so that it's to think you're thinking in the old way. But I want you to see that everybody you have a relationship with, it's a sphere of influence. You're called to impact their life. They believe in you, and they strengthen you, and they people bring you into peace. This woman here in the gold sweater there, how long have you been on the worship team? Year. Yeah, who asked you to do it? You asked them if you could. Right. And I was just thinking, you know, and did they believe in you? They believe in you. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and you can you can hit my hand if you want. Do you totally believe in you? Okay, all right. So I just wanted to say that in love. Like, let's say I was with you and I'm around here. They say, we believe in you, and now we need you to believe in me. Okay? Because, see, you have such a wonderful and gentle spirit. You're like a gentle dove. Is that true about her? You're so gentle. And when you're leading worship, you know, the woman, you're worshiping with a lioness. She just wants to roar. Okay? You know, she's going to roar her head off. Okay? And she's going to claim the territory for Christ, you know. So the reason why God has you up there is that some people aren't ready to roar, but they're ready to get that tender touch. Okay, so we need you too. Okay? We lead her, but we need you. That's why you're up there. Okay? So, you know, and I was just seeing in the spirit, I was just watching that. And I'm going, Lord, what are you releasing through her, through your daughter? Because it's clear. And actually, I look at the whole team. I look at, you know, I have to look at you. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm saying I'm a different kind of worshiper. I don't worship like most people. I don't worship. Even though I live with the musician, I'm not very musical. But what touches my heart is passion. So you know, the pianist is passionate. You know, where is he at? There you are. You know, so your passion is ministering to me. Your gentleness is ministering to me. That's how I worship. You know, when you're flagging up here, when I see the key main worship leader worshiping, that's what I want as a leader. When they're not leading, I want them to be the most fervent worshiper in the room. So that's how I know. I'm not saying I'm judging it, but when they're leading, then. So when Annie leads now, the credibility's there so much because I know she's a worshiper. I just say that is that encourages me. I'm encouraged relationship-wise. I'm encouraged by Annie's worship. Why? I'm encouraged by your worship. Why? Because it draws me to God. That's what relationships are. We're supposed to draw each other to God, and we're supposed to call out the things of God in people, right? You know, so, when people travel with Ann and I, my main purpose is I'm going to call out your giftings. Okay? I'm going to believe in you more than you believe in yourself. Okay? I'm going to call out the things I see in you. And I'm going to command them as though they were. And you might not see it, but we see it because we're looking at you in the spirit. I don't need to look at you with natural eyes. It doesn't. You know, my opinions really don't matter. And relationally, you know, I just am always looking for this connection. And by the way, you know, you have relationships, by the way, with people all over that you wouldn't even consider a relationship. But you have a relationship because you engage with them. I don't live there anymore, but there would be a bank I would go into, and there was a teller, and I asked her what her real name was because it was on her name tag, and she didn't like her name. And so I looked it up, and her name meant a wise friend. And so I told her, I love your name. She goes, I've always hated my name my whole life. And I said, I love your name. And so from then on, when I'd go into the bank, so all the other tellers, she must have told them because they started perking up, you know. And I got to speak over every one, you know, the tellers and the manager. And, you know, and so I had a relationship with that bank, you know. What I'm saying here is that you have a sphere, and it's your connection with people. Some of them are long-term connections. Most of them are. And those are the ones we often neglect the most in terms of understanding that they're kingdom relationship. I don't want to put you on the spot, but like if you're married, you know, how often do you prophesy over your spouse, for example? You know, Ann and I prophesy over each other quite frequently. Well, not every day, but we prophesy over each other. And Ann will say, my favorite words are from you. She'll take out the recorder. It's very honoring and humbling at the same time. I'll start giving a prophetic word, and she's pulling out her recorder. And, you know, it's like, wow, you think maybe you get tired of my voice, you know. So relationships. Anyways, this sphere includes alignment. And those who you choose to give your hearts to. Did you know that you can choose to give your heart to someone, or you can close it? Paul pleaded with the Corinthians, open wide your heart also. And if you want to look at your life and you just want to evaluate relationships, write down names, close your eyes, and see how heart your is open between 1 and 10. You'd be surprised. Your heart's pretty close to some people that you're supposed to be closer to. And it's because there was an offense or something's in you, you don't trust them, or they hurt your feelings, or there's something unresolved. You can close your heart to people. And you can open up your hearts to people. And by the way, I have a whole teaching just on this, how to know if your heart's closed and how to open it, keep it open. But God wants your heart to be fully open so that His love can flow through you. Okay? When you start closing your heart, it's withdrawing your love and your affection. And so I just want to say that you want to speak into your relationships healing. Speak and command a blessing on your marriage, on your friendships, on your family, on your workplace. Wherever you are, believe, because as I said, relationships reinforce and strengthen our influence and authority. And Zach and Sage, they have a real gift at honoring. You know, when we come, they don't. A lot of churches, and by the way, we feel loved and honored, but we go, and they take care of us. But here, you guys spoil us. You know what I'm saying? You know, when we go to Marita's and Scott, they spoil us. We're at Jay and Laura Lee's, and they spoil us. And then these guys, they take us out, and they want us to have, the best, halibut or, crab if it's available or whatever. But they really want to take care of us. So we feel so loved when we come, and it's such a blessing. And it just strengthens our relationship because we're living in covenant. And so I just want to bless your... I just want to stop a moment, and I'm going to command a blessing on your relationships. All right? I'm going to say right now, Father, in Jesus' name, anything that is stealing from the relationships in this room, we pray you bind it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we command a blessing on our relational lives. And we say, Lord, our lives, our relationships belong to you. And I just speak that blessing on your relationships. And I pray that you would feel loved and celebrated by other people. And I just feel like the Lord wants to just take a moment to minister. You feel like maybe you closed your heart and that kind of pricked your conscience there. And you started thinking, okay, Lord, tonight I open my heart to that person. Heal my heart, forgive me, and flow through me to them. Jesus' name. Amen. You don't need to go running to them and say, my heart was closed for 15 years to you, and now, no, but reach out and do that. So that was just, the length, the width, the depth, the height. Just if you want to understand your areas of influence, look at your relationship influence. I think I want to say the last one is that I believe who you're connected to can increase your authority. I believe that those who are connected to Ananias, I believe that they would testify they see an increase and a shift in their ministry as being aligned with us. We get that report a lot. I don't think it's about us, by the way. I think it's the anointing. I think it's the alignment. But I'm aligned with Cheon, as you guys are too. And Cheon has been, Che and Suon are close friends. But the doors of the nations, many of them were opened up through my relationship with Che, because he believes in us. And he has sent us to different nations to represent him. And that has really been a confidence booster, and it's been wonderful. The next one I just want to cover for a moment is titles. How many of you, let's be honest, how many of you as a whole don't really like titles? Anybody? Okay. First few hands went up. And, you know, I believe that it's because they've been abused. People have used that in a sense. They've appealed to that authority. I mean, I love my mom, and I'm not trying, you know, my mom has passed away. But when I was a teenager and I would ask my mom about something, and she would say, you know, Mom, why do I have to do that? She goes, because I'm your mom, right? I hate to tell you, but I didn't like that one at all. Did you younger people, you know, it's like, because I'm your parent. Maybe that's enough for you, but I was kind of rebellious, and I just didn't like that answer, you know. And I used to tell my mom, tell me another reason, you know, like, you know. And by the way, I'm not saying I was right. I was wrong, okay? I was being rebellious because there was something inherent there. But I find that where people at times don't like titles, it's when the title was used for control but not for relationship. Do you know that you can watch a leader, and when relationships start to break down, the minute they start saying things like, well, I'm the pastor, or I'm in charge, and they start immediately appealing to their authority instead of relationship, it tells me a lot about that person and how they relate. I'm not talking about titles where I use it against you or where I use it for relationship. But I'm talking about titles given by God and others that are vital for us and others to understand our spheres. Let me give you an example. I was a Baptist pastor, okay? Yeah, traditional Baptist pastor. And then I became a Bapticostal. Holy Spirit came, ruined my church. We started moving in all the gifts, prophetic, healing, and everything. And people started prophesying over me. You have an apostolic anointing. You're called to be an apostle. And I resisted it. I said, why is that even necessary? That seems like it's just a bunch of puffy, you know, language for, you know, to kind of exalt a person, right? I didn't like it. And most of the time people prophesied over me, this is like in the 90s, I would say, what does that mean to you? What does it mean that I'm apostolic? And you know what they would tell me? I don't know. How many think that would be really reassuring? They prophesied over you, say, what do you mean by apostolic? So after that, I'm listening to Peter Wagner, and he's teaching about apostles for today and all the fivefold ministry. And finally, I go to the Lord, and I said, Father, I said, are apostles for today? Are they really for today? And he goes, yes, and you're called to be one. And I'm like, that's the devil. You know, I'm like, no, I'm kidding. I'm journaling. And then he said this. He said, never seek the title. But he said, seek the function. And I'll open doors around the world for you. And I'll send you to bring freedom to my church. And I'm writing this down. I don't even believe in apostles. Right? I'm like, what are you? And God's telling me, I called you and I'm sending you out. And he was saying, I'm going to call you an apostle. Does this sound familiar? Does anybody, when God told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's like, he's going, God says to him, you know, I knew you before I formed you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You're called to be a prophet to the nations. And you know what Jeremiah did? He refused it. And he said, I'm too young and I don't know how to speak. In other words, you know everything, God, except you forgot two things. And I'm too young. So he disqualified himself with his thinking, with his culture. I wonder if there's anybody in this room, you've received a prophetic word and you refused to receive it because you couldn't see it. And, you know, you need to receive what people speak in faith. And, I dare you to ask God, what does he call you? And what is he calling you to be? And God does call us with title. Probably the most staggering one, of course, I mean, for me, is is in Matthew 3 when Jesus comes out of the water, and the first thing that the Father says is, "You are my son." That's a title. He didn't say, "You're the Messiah of the world. You're going to die for the sins of the world." He said, "You're my son," and then, which is identity, and which is a title. And then he said, "Whom I love, in whom I'm well pleased." That's how the Father spoke to his son in the waters of baptism. So I learned that that's how my Father speaks to me. And any title my Father gives me, I want. Okay? If he calls me a title, I want it, even if I don't understand it. Now, he didn't say, "You are an apostle now." He said, "Someday you'll be commissioned as an apostle, and you won't be able to stop people calling you an apostle." Okay? But he says, "I don't want you to refuse it when people speak it in faith." And I was that way. Because people would say, "You're an apostle." I go, no, I'm your brother. Like that was a spiritual thing. Right? And what I was dishonoring them, and I was dishonoring God. When I agreed with God to seek the function, he taught me. He would say things like, I was in Kenya and I was with a group of very religious people. These people, the women had to wear bonnets to be saved. They had to be baptized 3 times. They had so many rules. They couldn't eat certain foods on certain days. I mean, they had the list of rules was there. One day I woke up and the Lord says, "Do you want to see what an apostle looks like?" And I said, "Sure, I'd love to see what an apostle looks like." He goes, "All right." And he gave me a message called "The Letter Kills, But the Spirit Gives Life." And I had to go confront all their rules. And as I went and confronted all the rules, the founding bishop was over there, and here I was. And I just said, I didn't love. I said, "I'm here to love you. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Your rules, man-made rules, are hindering your freedom in the Spirit. And you're going to be set free today." And that's what I told him. And I just shared what it was. And I just loved on him. And finally, the bishop stands up and he goes, "Today we have learned we have many rules." And then he said this. He said, "But today we cancel. I cancel every man-made rule. And I honor this word." And you know what? He aligned himself with me. And that became the foundation of which my spiritual son came out of. And within 3 years, we had 250 churches. They nearly tripled. The churches started expanding, and it was all because I was, "Ann, would you mind grabbing that water there?" That I was willing to step into it. You have a title. You have titles. I'll just take this one here. The son, your title of being a son or a daughter is your most important title. And you have other titles there too. Thanks. How many here have I know there's certain people here have been in military, right? How many have been in the military or in the military? Does anybody still in the military right now? I don't know. You would know more about. But when you had a rank, did you give the rank to yourself? No. Someone else gave it to you. Did that rank have clear authority with it? Did you know who you reported to? Did you know who reported to you? Now think about that. The titles had authority in them. And they weren't unclear. Well, of course, I'm sure there's places that they are. The greatest titles you have are son and daughter, and the next one is brother and sister. By the way, I'm an apostle, commissioned apostle, but I will never ask you to call me apostle. You can call me dude, friend, brother, fellow smoker of meat, whatever you want to call me. But I do recognize your function. And I do look for your authority. I look at what you carry in the Spirit. I look at what you impart in the Spirit, because you have it. Kim, you've got fibrillators in your hand. You know, you've got, you know, fibrillators. You're constantly commanding life into those around you and releasing life. And you're a drunkard in the Spirit. But anyway, but with that comes a bless and authority to bring renewal and refreshing, right? And Marita has an incredible ability to agree with God. She has a very amazing faith, and she if God said it, that's enough for her. I don't care what everybody else says, you know, kind of thing. And there's an authority that comes out of that. You know, if you just start to look at people, you don't understand, but there's a function that's there. And you know, and I like, and Jody and Eileen, right? But you know, ever since I met Jody, you know, I just love for the church, love for Jesus, the love for the body of Christ. And he's a true overseer. The most common, most important title in the New Testament is an overseer. It is. That the health of a church must have overseers. And Jody is second to none. You know, he'll be the guy that will work and lay the, he'll make sure there's a ramp in the church, and the next minute he could be preaching. You know, he'll serve. He just put that towel around his waist, and he's not worried about the title. But believe me, in my mind, he has it. In my spirit, I know who he is. And I lead too. And I know their faithfulness. And there's authority that comes out of that. And you know, it's you know, he's literally caretaking the facility. That's rare. So it's both in the spirit and the natural, and it's God honors that stuff. He loves it because it's genuine and it's a flow. This is a safe house, and it's well kept and tended, and there where it can serve the community, and that's powerful. God, it says here in 1 Corinthians 12, God has appointed in the church, first of all, apostles. See, the word here, appoint, the Greek word, if you go to the next slide, it is about military rank. And in most places, there are titles, and they have implied authority. You know, your role. Anybody here a manager at work? Anybody here have a title at work? Yeah, you do. And those have lines of authority. I remember one time there was this woman, I was at this church, and I just asked them, you know, we were kind of having like an interactional thing, and I said, who would like to share their titles? And this woman stands up, her name is B. Derringer. She goes, well, my first title is I'm a child of God, and I'm a warrior princess. Okay. I said, I love that. But she goes, I'm also Deputy District Attorney of Los Angeles. I'm the City of Rolling Hills Council Member, and I'm a board member of 5 neighborhood associations and legal entities. And every one of those titles, I mean, she's the, like, Deputy District Attorney of Los Angeles. She was on the City Council of Rolling Hills, which was also Warrior Princess. My point is that she had... These titles all give you a sphere of influence. I mean, you know what it would be? We would love to have people here that were on city council or on some kinds of boards or some form of service in the community, because it represents authority. So try to honor each other's authority and each other's titles. Find out what some of them are. I bet you'd be... It'd be a fun exercise. Take a whiteboard and have people write their titles up on that board. You'd be shocked at who you have in this here. I mean, people, you know, with real measurable authority. All right. Well, I have to move on because I want to get more to the meat here. This really the next two are really the primary ways, I believe, that you measure your authority. And the first one is what I call positional authority. I know this is more of a teaching type conference. It's not as much, you know, feel good, you know, sometimes. But if you really grab onto this, you will feel more effective and more powerful and more walking in your destiny than you've ever felt. Is that quite a claim? Because your authority is real. And it's positional. It pertains to geography, proximity, lanes of authority to increase our influence and our impact. It's serendipitous and it's intentional. What's the difference? Serendipitous, you're at the right place at the right time. I was on a Southwest airline. You know how they just assign your seats? And I was there, and there was two people to my left, a man and a woman, never met before. And there was a woman at the end, and she said all of a sudden, I overheard her say to the guy next to her, "Well, I'm coming home from a funeral, a really good friend of mine." And she goes, "This is really scary." But she was hearing voices, and a voice told her to kill herself, and so she did. That's what she said to the guy. Well, I'm just sitting there, and I got leaned over, and I said, "Well," I go, "Hello, my name's Mark. I'm an expert at hearing voices." And she goes, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm. That's my field of study, is hearing voices." And I go, and I just started explaining, you know, there are voices that that oppose, like this woman, they hate her, they oppose you, they want to hurt you. And there's also a voice that comes to encourage you and speak life. And so let me show you that second one. And then I prophesied over her and the guy next to her, and she accepted the Lord, by the way, a baggage claim. But anyway, I was at the right place at the right time. And I really believe that as you pray for and look for, you know, these divine appointments. I know people that literally ask for divine appointments every day. And they say, it's amazing. I ask for it, so I'm looking for it, and I'm more aware. But that is really wonderful. But I believe that the intentional is where God has placed you. God has placed you. I feel so strongly about this that I believe that God has placed you in where you live, who you work with, where your kids go to school. I just believe all those things are important. I believe land is important, and that God called Abraham out of his comfort to a land of abundance. You know, God wanted to give him more. And God had a place for you. When we moved down to Los Angeles, by the way, we've gone back and forth from Portland, and we found this incredible home, and we wanted to move into it, so we asked the Lord, "Can we buy this home?" And the Lord said no. And we're like, "No? I mean, like, why not, God?" You know, we asked him, and he said, "Because I have something better for you." And it's a long story, so I won't go into it tonight, but he actually gave me, I think I may have told you this, but he gave me the name of a house to Google, and I did, in a city of Los Angeles, 15 million people, right? He told me the name of the home to Google. And I did it, and it said open house tomorrow. I mean, and we went and saw it. I mean, it's that specific. And it was so strategic where we lived. I really believe that if, you know, all of us, if we would believe that God wants to strategically put us, he will. The angel of the Lord said to Joshua, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands." When we pastored in Portland, Oregon, we had a church that was built, and it was next to an empty field. And on that field, they were going to build a high school. So we started prayer walking the field before the high school even came in. And the high school got built. And I used to joke with the church, because you could look out our windows and you could see this high school, right? And so I'd say to the church, Lord, show us our purpose. Show us where we're called to minister, you know, just being corny, because it was like right there with this high school. So the high school gets built, and, you know, and so, and during, right then, the staff started showing up, and so we prayed a lot, and it's proximity, it's right there. I know it's there. So I go over to visit, I want to meet the principal. So I go to meet the principal, and there's a whole bunch of people in his office, and he waves me in. And so I wave in, and I sit down, and I realize he doesn't know who I am. He thinks I'm a new staff member. Like he's got, everyone's new. They're all getting to know each other. But I don't want to interrupt him. So I'm sitting there in the meeting, and he's passing red licorice around, and I love red licorice. And so I'm sitting in this meeting and going along, and finally a break comes, and I have to go. So I go. So the next day, I decide to go back again. Same thing. He waits. But this time, he asks me, who are you? I've been eating his red licorice, talking about the Oregon Ducks, sitting, yeah. So finally he says, who are you? And I said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't want to say anything else today, but I'm the senior pastor of the church next door. And he starts just laughing, like, he didn't say it, but he was kind of like, really, you came out and hang out with us and eat my licorice, you know, kind of thing. And you know what? He said to me, we got to meet. He says, oh, I do want to meet. He looked at me. He goes, I like you. He goes, I think it's awesome you came over here. And so he says, come on back. So I'd come back, and a couple weeks later, he said, I have a problem, and I have no funding, and I've got kids dropping out of school, and I've got a counselor to help, but would you meet with kids that are like latchkey kids, and one of the periods at the end of the day, we'll give it to them, and you can talk to them about life skills. And if you can do that for a while, we can get funding. You know, we're talking about Oregon. The church of separation between church and state is about as big as it gets, okay? And there I am over on that campus, and I'm ministering to kids by his invitation. And they gave me, like, a school ID, and they gave me a pass to all the sporting events, and you know, it was like I was on staff. You know, it was just amazing. Yeah, well, I didn't get a bucket of red licorice, but... And, you know, it's kind of like... I'm just trying to share is that you... God's giving these doors for you, and it's like, you know, look at these as opportunities of influence. So God wants to... Next slide. God wants you to use you where you live, where you work, where your church is located. You know, when I pray for your church, one of the things that I do often is I close my eyes and I just see the spheres of influence, and I think of, you know where you're positioned. I noticed when we were on the freeway, I loved your big, you know, because Christmas is approaching, maybe it's been up there, but your big lights that say hope, right? And I was just sitting there thinking, Lord, what do they represent? What does this church represent? And positionally, what do you represent? You know, what is it that you, why does God have you where you are? You know, a lot of us are frustrated. We can get frustrated with our workplaces, right? Especially during this time of COVID. I don't need to go there very much. But what happens if you were there to minister to people? Because people are going through, in some work situations, people are going through really hard things. And they're having to make really hard choices, right? What would it be like if you were the person that was encouraging all those people? You're the ones that were helping them have peace as opposed to being all worked up. I'm not saying there's not reason to be worked up. There is, okay? But I'm saying that you can be healers. You can be used by God. In a radical way. God wants you to know He cares where you live. Again, I tell stories about when we moved. We've literally moved from Portland, Oregon to L.A., and we've done, what, seven times we've gone back and forth, okay? And it's the different season for them. And so one time my daughter was going through a great deal of hardship, and the Lord was telling us to go back to Portland. And the Lord said to us, I want you to move into a house in this area. It was 1 mile within the Hillsboro Airport. Okay, so that's pretty specific word. You look at Hillsboro Airport, and you're looking around. So we flew up like in early September, and we're looking around for houses. And we don't find anything. The houses were, I have to be honest, they were kind of dumpy. You know, it's like we just didn't want to move there, even rent or whatever. Finally, we see these big balloons, and it's all exciting. You know, we go in. There's these beautiful new townhouses against these trees, and we're thinking, oh, we could live here. It'd be nice to have a townhouse for a change, no yard, all this kind of stuff. So we go in the office, and we said, we'd like to buy this unit. And they said, I'm sorry, those units aren't for sale. And I said, I'm confused here. What's up with the balloons? You know, what's up with you showing? Oh, those are in court, and they're trying to evaluate the price, and they're writing the HOA law, but those won't be available until early January. Well, guess what? We got a word that we were going to move before Thanksgiving. When is Thanksgiving? November. So this is September, and I said to the Lord, you told us we're supposed to move before Thanksgiving. These homes aren't going to be available to January. What should I do? He said, oh, I want you to declare and decree you will sign on October 3rd. Okay? The homes weren't available. But understand, they were in court. And so I told my real estate agent, okay, we found our house, and I'm going to sign for that on October 3rd. She goes, what's your backup plan? You know? And I said, I'm just going to decree it every day. So every day I'm getting up in the morning, the homes are in litigation, and I'm going to sign on October 3rd. By the middle of September, you're feeling kind of like, you're kind of insane. You know what I'm saying? Like, the home isn't available to January, and you're decreeing you're going to sign October 3rd. So one morning I get up, I'm praying about it, I'm decreeing October 3rd, and the Lord says to me, I want you to call, and he shows me the number at Salem, you know, is where our capital is, and I want you to call the Department of Housing and the ones that handle the litigation over these HOAs, which is a homeowners association. And so I call, and a woman answers the phone. And I said, hello, is this the Department of Housing, whatever, that handles this? She goes, oh, yes. And I said, well, there's a property that I'm looking at, and I understand that it hasn't been approved yet. It's in litigation. She goes, what's the name of the property? And I give her the name. And she goes, oh, yeah, it's right here. And I said, what's the problem? She goes, well, that has to go to a committee to be approved, and then the homes could be a sale, can be for sale. And then I said, who schedules those homes to go to the committee to be approved? She goes, I do. I haven't been transferred to anybody. I said, could you make sure that gets on the committee agenda as soon as possible? She goes, absolutely. I would be glad to do that for you. She puts it on it, and then October 1st, my real estate agent's like, you're going to be signing on October 3rd. It's been approved. So there we are. Guess what it was a setup for? We move into this house. A couple weeks later, I said, Lord, where should we go to church? The Lord says, go to River Church Hillsboro. So I Google again. How many know God uses Google? I Google River Church Hillsboro, and the church is a mile away. It's actually called East River, so I didn't hear that. I just heard River Church. We walk in. We ended up ministering to the pastor and his wife. They ended up having us with their elders. They were a traditional, more Bible church. they had us start prophesying. We started doing Hearing the Voice of God conferences. We started releasing a prophetic movement in their church. But guess what? They started ministering to our whole family, and to this day still are. And they are a mile away from where we live now. God gave us kingdom relationships through our hearing to live by Hillsborough Airport. Guess what? My daughter and my son-in-law just moved into that home. And now they're there. All that came out of God telling me where to live, church relationships. My kids have been going there too. And all came out of that one moment. Why do I share that story? My belief that in this room, God wants to show you His purposes by where He's planted you. And He wants you to command it, the blessing, into that sphere. It's not by accident. And if you feel like you're in the wrong place, good. Now you get to change and go where you're supposed to go. Or you get to affirm that you're where you're supposed to be. But there shouldn't be any middle ground. Is that fair to say? Of course, you don't have to change it tonight. But over time, you want to discern, am I where God wants me to be? You know, in the church today, people go, they call it church hopping, right? And by the way, I'm not condemning that. I mean, people are looking for a home. They're looking to belong. They're looking for a place they feel safe. That's okay. Okay, I would never put anybody down if they felt like they weren't in a peace. But if they never come to the point to say, Lord, is this the people you've called me to covenant with? If you haven't done that, God wants you to do that because He wants to give you more through that relationship. Right? And so that's positional. And understanding it is where how God expresses Himself. So the next slide here says proper position is the key. Your authority and your influence may increase greatly if you are properly positioned. It can also decline or be ineffective if you're not. You want to be properly aligned. My wife she's very good at team building, and she needs to be with people more. She needs to have teammates. So we live in Portland, Oregon, and there's rioting downtown Portland. What does she want to do? She wants to find intercessors and go pray downtown Portland. Right? So she goes down there, and I think you were telling about how Antifa surrounded her. But she has this really, there's a strong team of people that have been praying. How long have you guys been meeting weekly? A year and a quarter. They go down, and they make declarations over the city, and they're shifting the atmosphere. Derek is... my friend Derek, he's running right now for sheriff, and God has really used him. But the enemy tried to take him out, tried to make him irrelevant, tried to give him the current sheriff got threatened by him, knew he was going to maybe run, so he took him and put him out in Siberia organizationally. I think he's like running the places that buy the candy bars for the prisoners. Okay, and he says the job is like so easy; he doesn't no challenge. But guess what? Instead of getting bitter and leaving, he got better. He decided, I'm going to have a great attitude. And then when the riots started and it was all the BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter and all those kind of issues, he started having a voice because he's black. He kept on started having a voice in the region, a level-headed voice, to say, look at, you know, I've been doing diversity training for over 20 years before anybody even talked about diversity training. But he says, this is a citywide, it's a problem that's a part of culture. And he says, I'm the answer. And God's going to use him. And like I said earlier, Chase opened many nations for us. So So what positional sphere has God given to you? And I ask that as a church. What position? Why are you here? And that's a really important question. Revelational authority. This is the last one. I'm not trying to bog you down with, is this too much stuff? I'm just trying to encourage you that, you know, you live in a realm that's real. It's real authority. This is where God tells you and confirms the authority he has given you. This takes a lot of confidence that you hear God. Okay? If you're not confident that you don't hear God, you don't have to raise your hand. But my challenge to you is, I really believe it's going to be very difficult for you to come into your fullness if you don't know how to hear God's voice. Is that safe to say? So, this is a church that teaches people how to hear God's voice. Right? How many of you hear God's voice clearly? Okay, a lot of you. How many could teach others to do the same? Okay. All right, go and do likewise. Okay? Like, you know, that was one of the core values at our church. We always had opportunities for people to learn how to hear God's voice. Why? Because we believed in prophesying over you, but we believe the most effective prophetic ministry is you prophesying over your own life. You declaring. Other people confirm what God is saying, and they can bring fresh revelation to it, but as a whole, your relationship is with Jesus. Not necessarily through other prophets, prophetic voices. So you want to hear God's love. You want to hear and receive God's love directly from him. So next, though, is that God wants to share with you, he wants to share with you revelation on how you can be to release the kingdom to others. Right? And at the core is understanding clearly that God is opening spheres and he wants you to release and impart to them. All right? I'm going to ask you kind of a bolder question. How many of you know with certainty what you impart? Okay. Not a lot of hands went up. What do I mean by that? It means what can you release through faith to other people? What is it that God has birthed in you that is real and tangible and you can release to others? Not a lot of hands went up. I want to give you confidence. It's like one candle lighting another candle. And so what I'm saying here is that you have something from God that the person next to you may not have. Okay? My wife has, I believe, she is a lead me in greater intimacy with the Lord. She imparts to me. I impart boldness to her. So you can impart what you have, right? Sandra, why do you go to Kenya with these kids? Compassion. Compassion is driving you. Okay? That compassion is consumed you. Right? That's an impartation. That's why you can get others to carry the vision because, you know, that's why Deanna, I see you now from last time. You're like, oh, those kids, you know. You know, you imparted something to Deanna. That's real. Has it impacted your life, Deanna? Absolutely. That's an example of relational, but it's also an example of revelational. God showed you the value of the children and how to impart through compassion, and you imparted it to Deanna. That's real. The enemy can't steal that stuff. But guess what? Everybody in this room is qualified to do that. And you might say, well, I have to mature and I have to arrive. No, you don't. Yes, you do need to mature. But you already have something to give. You already have a seed of faith. You already have a seed of hope. You already have a seed, you know, of revelation. You know, Jay, you love to prophesy. You're almost a prophesying machine, right? You just prophesy, 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 right? I love it. We're that way, so we understand it. But you don't think about it anymore. You just do it. You know, a lot of people aren't that bold with us tonight. You gave a word for us to consider and to consider about Portland and some things like that. You know, that's an impartation. And, you know, I wish, like in churches, more people would go, all right, I am becoming more of an expert. I know I use that phrase because I don't know, but because none of us feels like we're an expert, but say, hey, if you want to prophesy every day, regularly, I'm going to get it together with a group of people, and I'm going to start, you know, we're going to do a group chat on WhatsApp, and we're going to start learning how we're going to do it on, and we're just going to do it, you know? You know, worship leaders, you know, were sometimes more that was just saying, hey, some of you here, you don't get it. You know, you're like, why don't we worship so long? You're bored out of your gourd. Well, guess what? I'm going to do a short class on just how to worship and why I worship like a maniac. And I'm going to impart that to you. You know, it's like think in terms of what has God revealed to you, because now that it's been revealed to you, you can be used to get revelation to others. For example, how many of you know and believe God loves you? How many have been so overwhelmed by God's love you told him no more love? See the difference? One is you know his love. One is you just can barely handle how much love you got. Well, guess what? If you're in the latter camp, there's a lot of people around you that don't know how to receive his love. And they have obstacles. And, you know, you can just pray for people to show and share with revelation on how to do that. You have something to give. You have something to impart. And, you know, if I don't do it this time, I'm not going to do it tomorrow. But I promise I'll come back and do a message on how to know what you impart. And then we'll have an impartation party. Okay? You have to wait. I'm sorry. Well, I know. But, you know, it's kind of like it's really, really important because to know what you impart. For example, I have a sword of freedom. It's real. I thrust it into places I go and I release it. Kenya, they call me an apostle of freedom. Something that I carry. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And something that I report do. Another time, the Lord said, "You can increase the prophetic wherever you go." That was quite challenging when the Lord told me I could do that. I could just command a blessing of increased prophetic anointing. So where did He send me? Where people were opposed to prophecy, I did. And God used me to shift that whole community. Next one is revelation expands you. God wants to tell you what to release, what to impart, what to shift in your region or sphere of influence and authority. Let me ask you a question, Pastor. What do you want this church to impart to the region? What do you believe its primary call is? Yeah. Well, living in their destiny, do you want to be a bridge of hope? Yeah, okay. So it's kind of like right now, we could just put your hands out different directions. Just put your hands out to north, south, east, west, and just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command a blessing. A hope in this season. I release a blessing in Jesus' name. I command favor into the region. And then now you start doing your own stuff. What would you start to command and release? I'm asking a question. What would you really? Salvation. Freedom. Good. What else? Discernment. Now see what's happening? You're releasing different things. That's the whole point. I'm going to go freedom, freedom, freedom. Every other word is going to be freedom because I can't help myself. But he's all of a sudden releasing discernment. And over here I heard salvation. So that's why all of us are imparting something. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? And I want you to value what you carry. I like it that you value what your pastors carry, but we want you to value what you carry. Because what you carry is only you can release what you carry. And it was like when I was telling this daughter here, worship, it's like you're valuing, you know, hey, you don't need to compare yourself to the other worship leaders. It's just who are you? You're going to release gentleness and the kind and the tender heart of God. So next time you get up here and you're doing it, just go under your breath. You're singing song, but in your spirit, Lord. And look around the room, that people that need tenderness of God encounter. And then you're sitting there, Lord, I come in. I just bless them with your tenderness. See what you're doing? You're looking revelationally. And you're seeing what people mean. And God's using you to release it. And revelation relates to every area of authority. And revelation also determines, declares, and defines boundaries, as well as expanding them. That's why Jesus says you have the authority to what? Bind and to loosen. You have the authority to bless and to curse, to increase and decrease. They're all examples of this. And so I ask a lot of people, what do you release? And I am surprised by the blank looks that I get. And I challenge you to get revelation from your sphere. Amen? So do you mind if we do this a little bit of activation before we do, you know? I want you to close your eyes. Can you do that for a minute? Because I know you can pray with your eyes open. But I want you to pray. And I want you to imagine you have this candle in your hand. And the candle is lit. All right? You got this lit candle. And then I want you to imagine everybody else in the room has a candle that's unlit. Okay? Now, you've probably done this in a candlelight service, right? You pass the candle. Now, when you light the next person's candle with your fire, do you lose your fire? No. You give it away. Okay, now you're going to be bold. Ask the Lord what you have to give to the person next to you. You can have more than one if you want. But ask the Lord, if you were to light their candle with something, an impartation, what would it be? All right, now here's where the boldness comes. Open your eyes. Look at the person close to you. You can do someone close to you, anybody, if you want to do. And say, I want to give you something tonight. I want to impart what? What did you impart? So one of you goes first. And what do? Just say, I just release strength into you. Or peace. You can go one at a time. Just try it. give this to you. And then you can switch and say, I release this to you. And then tell the other person, I receive it. I receive it in love. I receive your impartation. Okay? I receive what God would want to release through your life. It comes by revelation. All right? Can some of you tell me what you release? Just start yelling it out. Huh? Mercy, peace, God, freedom. Joy? Purpose? Wow. Encouragement. Look how anointed you are. Just think if all you did for the rest of your life is just release that to everybody you could, you'd be like a power stud. You'd be like a stud muffin. No, I'm serious. If you just got, every time you went on a plane, everywhere you went, you said, I release encouragement, and you just looked like eyes for someone who needed encouragement, do you think you could find anybody? Someone that needed compassion? And then you can ask, what do people need? I was praying, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to release a sense of belonging. If you felt like, gosh, I don't know if I really belong, I just loosen and command a blessing. I renounce the lie, you don't belong. You belong. You're chosen. There's authority that comes, I'm trying to show you that in your relationships, there's an authority that comes through your blessing of what you impart. In your titles, God's given you a sphere of influence through that authority to speak. Positionally, He's put you in the right place at the right time, even if you don't understand it. David's out in the field shooting a slingshot. He has no clue that in a matter of months he's going to be facing a giant, and he's going to use that skill with the anointing of the Father. And lastly, He's put you revelation. He's going to give you revelation on what you're to release. Now here's the good news. I came here to command a blessing on your church. I came here with the sole purpose of, the Lord said, to declare it's a season, a new season of increased and expanded authority in this region. And I'm supposed to command a blessing on you, and as a church, and as on individuals and on families, that this is a time such as this that God has prepared you for this season. I think this is a really important season for you in this region. I think the fields have never been wider, and not with snow, okay, but with a harvest. I think you're blessed. You're a multi-generational church. You have a strong family belonging. You have a strong call on your life, and God wants to raise you up. And some of you young people were desperately needing politicians. Yeah. I haven't had a lot of church raising people into government. We need a government anointing on this next generation. We're going to take the kingdom by force, and we're going to occupy places of authority. And we're going to be used mightily. Amen? And I feel like the Lord is really saying that, don't wait. You know, It's like the new year, the new season's already begun. And I really believe you're going to see increased power. Ann said you're going to see, what was it, eight times? Eight decrees are going to have eight times the power. So the same decrees are going to have greater authority. I feel like you guys really have an anointing to overcome an orphan spirit, an orphan heart, like in a really radical way. What would happen if you guys were to father and mother the region? Entire region. I have a story with this. I was in Amsterdam. Have you heard of the red light district? Where the women are behind windows and foreigners come in and, right? You get the picture. We don't need to paint it too graphically. But, you know. So I went down, and I was in Amsterdam, and I heard about this man who had worked there, down there for like over 15 years. His name is Fritz. So I met Fritz, and I said, Fritz, tell me about your story. And I said, well, I just had such a compassion for these women behind the windows, and me and my wife, we started coming down here, and but the church didn't understand it, and they rejected us. And they said, why are you doing that? And you're a man, and you shouldn't be talking, you know, to these prostitutes and all this stuff. And he said, anyways, we started this ministry, and they come, and they can get coffee and food and just get somewhere that's safe for them. And I looked at him, and I said, Fritz, I want to honor you as a father to this city. And he looked at me, and I said, you are an apostle to this region. God has sent you as a father. Your wife is a mother. And he just started getting tears in his eyes because he was being told what he was doing is important. I said to him, I said, can I meet with your entire staff? And I'd like to prophesy over them. And so he brought me down to his staff. Many of them have never received a prophetic word. And I'm prophesying over them all. They're all getting touched. And finally he looks at me and he says, don't you want to go minister to the women? And I said, not today. He goes, what? Everybody wants to go meet the women. And I said to him, I met those who will love the women. If I can make you stronger, I'm going to come one day. You're going to be here every day. You're going to be the one that changes this. I was just in Amsterdam, and he heard I was in the city. And he literally ran to that service, and he ran up to me. When are you coming? When are you going to come and minister to the team? Oh, and I have certain women. I think sometimes if they could meet someone like you, they would prophesy over them. And you know, I left that. And by the way, I couldn't. So next time I'm going to Africa, I'm actually going to go through Amsterdam. And we're going to go in, and the team that I'm with, we're going to minister to all the workers that work with those ladies. And we're going to work with the Bulgarian churches that are now rising up. And we're going to work with the Father Heart stuff. And we're going to do it. But my point here is that we can go in. Listen to this. We can impact a nation by just loving those who are called to love the nation. So here's the good news. You don't even have to do it. You just have to love those who do it. We think sometimes we're going to be the solution. But guess what? The solution might be a person that God's already placed there, but no one has seen their value. That's revelation. The relationships you have right now, just go to some people. Go to those teachers that you see really impact kids. Go to those government leaders that are really, you know, have the best interest of the people. Go love on them. thank them. Go love them. Honor them. Prophesy over them without telling them. They'll probably know, but most time I prophesy, I don't tell people, especially unbelievers. They love it. People love prophecy. And God wants to use this church for that kind of influence. Amen? That's a story that shows that positional and revelational. I had a couple that came down. I was in Bulgaria. They were from Amsterdam, and they flew down twice to hear me there. And so I said, well, do you mind if I, next time I'm in Amsterdam, I've got a lot of contacts, but do you mind if I came to your church? They were 1 year old, and their church was growing. But I noticed they had so many languages there. And I said, then why are you only doing Bulgarian services? You guys could start 3 church services tomorrow in different languages, and you could reach them. And I try to tell churches in America, stop thinking English. You know, God has influence for you beyond your experience and understanding. But anyways, I went there, and right now they're just starting to multiply, and God is starting to increase them. And I just tell you these stories as I believe you are the influencers too. And you have opportunity to increase lives and impart. All right, so just stand up. I'm going to give you a blessing. I do prophesy over you that this is a season of breakthrough for you. This is a season of tearing down the things that have hindered you. This is the time to remove lies of the enemy and hindrances that have come through agreement. And when Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and live really a powerful new life. That's what he was saying. And I feel like the Lord says to you, neither do I condemn you. In Christ, through his blood, you are free from accusation. God's not holding anything against you. And God is wanting to release. And for Bridge of Hope, I believe that this is a time that he's purposed you to really be the fulfillment of your name. That you're going to release apostolically the power of God. You're going to impart. But it's not going to be just through formal meetings. It's going to be through you. And through the oil on your hands and through the fire that's on your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you guys have a prayer team? Yeah. Can your prayer team come on up here? We love praying for people, but I love honoring you too. I just feel like there's some people tonight that are saying, you know, we're ready for a breakthrough. We need a touch tonight. We need you to a blessing to be commanded upon us. And I'm just asking the leadership team if we could literally command blessings into people's lives. And I just feel like there's going to be a real fruit for a number of you. I felt a very special anointing for addiction, for reclaiming inheritance, for declaring identity, for reclaiming that which is stolen. I believe that the anointing is present for all those things. And I believe that your agreement. And by the way, I had some people come up to me last night. I honor you because you came up and said, I heard that and I thought it was for me. And I was able to pray with them. But like a lot of times, I don't mind praying. I'll pray for as many. But I feel like these guys are going to command blessings because they're going to command something different than I would.